ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع العليم. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وقضينا إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا. فإذا جاء وعد أولاهما بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي بأس شديد فجاسوا خلال الديار وكان وعدا مفعولا. ثم رددنا لكم الكرة عليهم وأمددناكم بأموال وبنين وجعلناكم أكثر نفيرا. إن أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها. فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة ليسوءوا وجوهكم وليدخلوا المسجد كما دخلوه أول مرة وليتبروا ما علوا تدبيرا. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected guests, ulama ikram, and brothers and elders in Islam, we all know that we are living through trying times, and trying conditions have come upon the ummah. Every day when we wake up, we find some distressing news that is against the ummah, where some person or some community has been terrorized, or some community has been displaced, or somebody has been injured. And this is how we are passing our days today. We find that for the last half century, for the last 50 years, one of the greatest flashpoints in the lands of Islam, and one of the greatest points where disputes have been carrying on, and where the ummah is in distress every day. Every day there is some halats coming upon them, some conditions are coming upon them. That is known as Palestine. And the area around it, that is the center and the focal point of all the disputes, is Masjid al-Aqsa. Let us first and foremost understand the sanctity and the place of Masjid al-Aqsa in our lives. Masjid al-Aqsa has the prominence and is such a place which has been mentioned in the Quran first and foremost by name, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to Masjid al-Aqsa, and from Masjid al-Aqsa, where the Dome of the Rock stands today, outside, just outside the Masjid, we find that this was the place where the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started, that took him to the heavens. So the sanctity of the place. Now, we do not want to go back where the history of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and how the masjid was built at that time. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had full control over the jinnat, and he was commanded the jinn to start building the masjid. And when they built the masjid, they were lazy to continue with the work. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam stood at one place to direct them and to make them do the work. And at that point, Malak al-Maut came. So when Malak al-Maut came, he told Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam that I've come to take your life. Your life has ended. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam told him, okay, take my life whilst I am in a standing position. And he was on his staff, on his stick, and he was at that position. And when the masjid was complete, at that time the stick broke, and he fell down, and then the people realized that he had passed away. So anyway, we come to the zaman of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. the first Qibla. The first Qibla in Islam, when Salah was made farz and the Qibla was determined, the first Qibla of Islam was Masjid al-Aqsa. That is the direction that the Muslims were facing. And that was the direction that Salah should take place until the command came. Those of us that have visited Madinat al-Munawwara, we will see that Masjid al-Qiblatain. While Salah was on and they were facing Masjid al-Aqsa, and the command came that the direction of Qibla has changed. So we find that the entire majma, the imam walked to the other side and the majma turned around and they faced towards Masjid al-Haram. Rasulullah ﷺ mentions in a hadith that your saddle, tashuddu rihal ala masjid al-thalas. That tie your saddle, that means visit three masjids. That three masjids, al-masjid al-Haram, masjid al-Haza, wa masjid al-Aqsa, or kama qala. That first and foremost, the masjid that you should visit is Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarrama. Then Madinat al-Munawwara. And the Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, that is the masjid that you should visit. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا الْمِهْرَابُ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. When Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam should visit Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, she should be locked in the mihrab of the masjid. A mihrab, this we know as a mihrab, but in front of this, previous in other zamanas in Pakistan we see it also, there's a room that is in front of this, that's built specifically, and there's a door that leads to that room. So Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam was living, that's not part of the masjid, we all consider the masla masail, but that's not part of the masjid. So that's why the masla is when a person is making imamat, he can make sajda in the mihrab, but his feet must be in the masjid. So anyway, whenever Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam should visit, he should find that there were fruit that was out of season in the room of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. So he should inquire where this fruit came from. So she should say that this is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ إِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُكُ مِنْ يَشَىٰ. So our ulama state that this mihrab that they're talking about is the mihrab of the Masjid al-Aqsa. This is where we find that the history links up. So let us fast forward to the zaman of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. The Sahaba are waging jihad. They have seized the city. And now the city is about to fall. Now the siege is there in place. No food can go in. Nobody can come out. Nobody can go in. So they are in that city. They are confined. So eventually they come to the realization that either we're going to starve to death, but these Sahaba are not going to leave us. So anyway, they delegate a few people to come out. And they make an announcement that a few from that side, from the Muslim side, come out. And let us come to an agreement, to a treaty. So when the Muslims send there, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes out. So when he comes out, then they look at him. And the Christians say that, we do not want to deal with you. We want to deal with Amir al-Mu'mineen. And it seems like you're not the Amir of the Mu'mineen. Because in our scriptures, they are saying now, in our scriptures it is written the description of the person that we have to hand over the key of Baytul Muqaddas. And you do not fit that description. So anyway, cutting a long story short, a letter was written to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to come, because this was the Christians that is questing. So look at the justice of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He leaves with one other person. He is Amir al-Mu'mineen. There's only one conveyance. So they leave Madinah to Munawwara. And he says that, I will walk part of the journey and you will sit on the camel. Then you will get off. I will go onto the camel and you walk for a certain distance and then we will change again. So it so happened, when they were entering into Baytul Muqaddas, it was his turn to walk, leading the camel. And the person who is khadim that was with him, it was his turn to sit on the camel. So he did not say, get off, I will come on top and you must walk. He said, no, this is how it is going to be. And he is leading the camel and is entering into Baytul Muqaddas. Then the clothes that he is wearing, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was a very simple person. His clothes, anything was torn, it wasn't thrown away and discarded. But rather a patch was put and it was reworn. So he's wearing these types of clothes. And now he's entering into Bayt al-Muqaddas. As Ubaydah bin Jarrah tells him, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, you're going to receive a city. The city is going to fall in our hands. You can't go dressed like this. So he said, this is between me and Allah. This has got nothing to do with you. Coming to another point in this incident, while the jihad was going on, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu dispatched the army. So he passed away, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was appointed the Khalifa. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was the commander of the army under the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr. So when he passed away, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu writes a letter. And he says, you are disposed of your position. You are taken out of your position. Hazrat Ubaydah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been elected as the new commander-in-chief. Hand over power to him immediately. This letter reaches Khalid bin Walid while he is in the midst of jihad. He looks at the letter and he says, that is between me and Allah. Immediately he hands over the commanding of the army to Hazrat Abu Ubaydah bin Jarrah. So somebody asked him after that, that such a critical moment, you were in jihad, what thought had crossed your mind at that time? Didn't you feel like just leaving everything? So he answered, what a beautiful answer, and this must be our motto in life. That whatever we are doing, his answer was, that whatever I am doing, I'm doing for the sake of Allah. I'm doing for the pleasure of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can utilize me in any position that He wishes. If He wishes to utilize me as the head, I will be the head. If He wishes to utilize me as the tail, I will be the tail. Because whatever I am doing, it is for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And position does not matter to me. Because my reward and whatever I'm going to get, I'm going to get in the court of Allah in the hereafter. So as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu walks into Bayt al-Muqaddas, and Sophronius is the name of the person, that the priest that was coming from the other side. He meets him and the treaty is written. And the treaty was so fair that whatever is the places of the worship of the Christians, that will not be touched. That will remain as is. So after the treaty is written and signed, what happens is that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asks him that we know that the resting place, the maqam of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam is in this vicinity. Can you show us the place where it is? So the priest says, naturally I will show you. So they take him to a corner, to a place, to a dump, literally a dump, where things were dumped on this place. And they said, this is the place. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu removes his shawl and he starts collecting the dirt. 4,000 sahaba with him. And they also join him. And they start removing that rubble and the dirt away and start dumping it onto another site until that entire area has been exposed. And thereafter, as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes that property waqaf. Let us understand what is waqaf. Waqaf, translated into English, means endowment. Where a person says, this property now, for instance, this masjid has been made waqaf. It is now the property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There can be no tasarruf. There can be no dealing in this property. It cannot be bought. It cannot be sold. Nothing can be done on it. Everything that is done on it is done only for the pleasure of Allah. So 35 acres was made waqaf. That means it was from that day right up to the day of Qiyamah. That land cannot be taken away. And this is also understood in the laws of the Jews. But unfortunately, due to their lack of understanding or due to the hatred that they feel, they do not want to understand that this property has been made waqaf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, time is going. We just started. The topic is very lengthy. So now we come to the present day situation. Why are the Muslims facing this type of situation? Not only there, but if you look in various parts of the world. So this very same question was posed to the principal of Madrasat Alimuddin, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Salehi Sahab, that why are the Palestinians suffering in this condition? And not only are they suffering, but those around them, these Muslims, they are totally surrounded by Muslim nations. How come they are not helping us also? On this point, we find that once a person set fire to the minbar of Masjid al-Aqsa. So the president at that time, 1969, this happened. The president or the prime minister of so-called State of Israel was Golda Meir. So this Golda Meir writes that I never slept the entire night because I feared now that the Arabs that are surrounding us, they will come and attack us in retribution of what happened in the masjid. But come morning, I see no tanks, I see no infantry, I see nothing happening. So I rest assured that these people are powerless. These people cannot do anything to us. So my dear respected brothers, when this question was posed to Hazrat Mufti Sahab by none other than the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa, Sheikh Ali, when he came to visit South Africa. So Mufti Sahab replied to him from the Quran. The reply was, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنَ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that we announced to Bani Israel, who were the ummah of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam at that time. We announced to Bani Israel, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنَ. You will cause huge corruption on the surface of this earth. Twice. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ أُولَاهُمَا بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ. So when the first time of corruption came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His servants, ibadah lana. The servants of Allah, the enemies of the Bani Israel. أُولُو بَعْثٍ شَدِيدٍ. Such warmongers, such people, terrible people, that they entered into the deep recesses of their houses. فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ وَكَانَ وَعْدًا. So this was the promise of Allah fulfilled. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْقَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ. Then Allah Ta'ala returned the sovereignty and power back to Bani Israel. And Allah Ta'ala increased their wealth and their children. And with the increase in the wealth and their children, they managed to mobilize huge armies. أكثر نفيرا. Then إن أحسنتم أحسنتم وإن أسأتم فلها. If you do good, very well. And if you do evil, then it will be to your detriment. فإن أسأتم فلها فإذا جاء وعد الآخر لسوء وجوهكم. Then when the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, when the second time of corruption came, Allah ta'ala released His servants again, their enemies. And those enemies disgraced them. Allah Ta'ala says, distorted their faces, which means that they were disgraced. And Allah Ta'ala says that these people will enter your temple, their temple, and now they will enter your temple as they had entered previously, awwala marra. Hazrat Mufti Sahib explained to him that the Bani Israel were the ummah of that zamana. Now, we are the ummah of this zamana. Inna al-deena inda Allahi al-Islam. That this period of time we are passing through, the true deen is the deen of Islam. So, that promise and that warning that had come to Bani Israel at that time, that similar warning is for us at this time. That if we transgress the limits of Allah, what we have to understand is also, there's two systems that are working. One is the system that is surrounding Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let anybody, any kafir, destroy the Kaaba or take possession of the Kaaba. From now till the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. But the system that is working around Masjid al-Aqsa is this, that according to the condition of the ummah at that prevailing at that time, That will be the condition in Masjid al-Aqsa. If the Ummah is weak, if the Ummah does not have the quwwah and the power in amals, in turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find that in Masjid al-Aqsa, this condition will be prevailing. No matter what we try to do, but as long as a nation does not resolve to correct itself and to bring itself onto the road of Sirat al-Mustaqim, onto that pathway that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can try everything in their power and their might to regain control. Control won't come. Because sovereignty and total control lies in the hands of Allah. And Allah looks at the condition of the ummah. If the ummah is in a weak condition, and not very difficult to gauge the condition of the ummah. Once, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Patel Sahib went to Palestine in Jamaat. So one of the persons that were in, that were making the Nusrat, explained to him himself. This is not a second-hand story. This is what he heard himself. He says that one day after Fajr, the Jews went to every masjid and put guards at the doors of the masjid after Fajr. And as the people were coming out, they were taking photographs of the people and counting the number of people coming out. So then they were asked that, why are you all doing this? What's the reason? So they mentioned that we are taking a census of how many people are coming for Fajr Salah. And the day that the crowd for Fajr is equal to the crowd of Jummah, then we know our days are numbered. And if you look at the condition of the Ummah today, that's what a tall order. We know in our masjid itself how many are coming for Fajr Salah. And how many are coming for Jummah Salah. Yet both Salah are farz. Just as Jummah is farz, every day Salah is farz. And we are sitting at home at the time of Fajr. Fajr is 6 o'clock. And around that time, most of the Ummah is waking up to go to work. But without even a flutter going past their mind that I have missed Fajr Salah. And I'm going to work. Without even a thought. And yet we say that we want control over the world. We want the Muslim army to be prosperous and to be strong. But we haven't got the power to lift that blanket off our bodies at the time of Fajr. How we are going to have the strength to face the enemies of Allah? Each one should reflect upon their own lives. The greatest mufti in your life is your heart. If you want a fatwa, ask your heart. Ask yourself, am I fulfilling the haqq of Allah? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Am I fulfilling the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Bunya al-Islam wa la khams, shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa iqami salah, wa ita'i zakah, wa al-hajj wa sumi ramadan. That is the right of Allah. If you get the answer for that, that five times salah must come into your life. We don't want to go into salah. The topic is Jerusalem and Masjid al-Aqsa and the conditions that are around it. But my dear respected brothers, the greatest gift was salah, and the journey commenced from Jerusalem. And the return was to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem back to Madinat al-Munawwarah. And how did Rasulullah go up to receive the salah? A ladder of pearls. A ladder of pearls came from the heavens and came into where the Dome of the Rock is standing today. That is where it landed. And Rasulullah climbed that ladder to get this gift of salah. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, according to some riwayats, was lifted onto the heavens from the mount that is outside Jerusalem, outside Masjid al-Aqsa. From there he was lifted into the heavens. So Masjid al-Aqsa is very close to our hearts. Masjid al-Aqsa is the third haram. One salah performed in Masjid al-Aqsa, reward of, according to one riwayat, 500 salah. But my dear respected brothers, what we have to understand, that total power and sovereignty and kingdom, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. there's a negative or there's lack of yaqeen from our side. We still think that if we have wealth, we can do it. We have weapons, we can do it. We are numbering 1.1 billion. And just today I received a phone call, so one person was on the other side, he was telling me that the total population of Jews in the world is 23 million. Whilst the Muslims are numbering 1.1 billion. If you're looking at numbers, we got the numbers. If you're looking at weapons, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the Muslim lands with weapons. So what is lacking? What's the deficiency? My dear respected brothers, the deficiency lies in yaqeen. That once our yaqeen has shifted from Allah and has come unto mal and come unto the weapons and come unto numbers, Battle of Hunain, a great lesson was taught to the Sahaba. Because they put their yaqeen on their numbers, that today we will definitely get victory because we got the numbers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to prove once and for all, from that time right till the day of Qiyamah, your numbers cannot do. So if you want to do something for Masjid al-Aqsa, start lifting that blanket at Fajr time and come to the Masjid. And when you come to the Masjid, after the Salah, lift your hands and make dua for the people there. What conditions they are facing today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send the similar conditions here at any given time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. We do not want those conditions to come. But if we do not resolve to change our lives, link ourselves with some thing of deen, either we link ourselves with some buzruk and work under his mashwara, or link ourselves with the tabligh jamaat. Just one example before we finish off. During the course of the month of Ramadan, our jamaat went to Chatsworth. 9 out of 10 houses that we visited were not fasting. 90% of the ummah was not fasting. Something that is farz, something that we have to do. And this Mas'udiyah, the jamaat is here from Saudi, alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala bless them, Allah ta'ala take work from them. They mentioned the word Mas'udiyah. Mas'uliyah translated is responsibility. Everyone has taken the responsibility that I have to see to myself, I have to see to my family, I have to see to my children, I have to see to my parents. Alhamdulillah, we are not saying that's wrong. But no one is saying that I have to see to my fellow Muslims, that they are my responsibility also. If my neighbor is not coming to the masjid, it is my responsibility to ask him, "Bhai, what's happening? You're not well. Something is wrong. Why are you not coming?" So this is the solution for Masjid al-Aqsa and the world, throughout the world. Whichever country you're looking at, Muslims have been persecuted. They've been driven from their homes. The hadith comes to mind that when a person misses one salah, it is as if he has lost everything that he possessed. His wife, his children, his wealth. So not long after that, I was reading one article and one Syrian refugee, when he was leaving his home, he had to leave everything, his wealth he left behind. Then as he was crossing the Mediterranean Ocean, the boat capsized. And his entire family, his wife, his children, everybody passed away. So how that person must be feeling? And yet this hadith states that if you miss one salah, it is as if your wealth and your entire family has been destroyed. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of making amal, my dear respected brothers. It's a very serious issue. We need a lot of time to discuss and go into depth. There's no time, it's already 10 to. So what the call of the moment is, all of us cannot go to Jerusalem and face the persecution, etc. But all of us can do one thing. And that is, bring salah into our lives. And it's mentioned in the hadith that after we perform salah, your du'as are accepted. Raise your hands, make du'a for yourself. And make dua for the ummah, and make dua for those that have been persecuted throughout the world, especially in Jerusalem, Syria, Yemen, wherever. Make dua for them. Nobody knows whose duas can be accepted. And through the acceptance of their duas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the condition.